Blog Talk Radio.
Shark Entertainment Report. It's Fun Friday. It is Fun Friday. And we are having fun conversations. As always, Cousin Linda is with us. So we will talk about summer deals, summer fun, hot topics, breaking news. It's breaking news, so much breaking news. It's a little different than hot topics. Hot topics is just hot topics. Breaking news, and a lot of breaking news. So we have 35 minutes of live streaming. If you want to get your call in, get your call in within the next 35 minutes, and then we'll have extra 10 minutes. So we should be ending right before 5:30. About 5:20, 5:25. But happy weekend, 4th of July weekend. Some July is here. Today is our Aunt Midget's birthday, so sending out our happy birthday wishes to our Aunt Midget, also who's a hidden figure, also in the retail business here in Jackson, Mississippi, and the Sears, really nationally. Wow, I've never done my research to find out she might have been the first across the nation in regards to all Sears locations, been the first Black American to be hired in retail. Not male, not female, but person. And I always love to hear her story. And Cousin Linda always a part of the stories also because she worked there too. But, you know, I'm so excited because we're talking more and more about something that we both love, and that's fashion and that's shopping and customer service and etiquette, being etiquette, but down proper etiquette and so on. So I want to hand the mic to Cousin Linda, and I'll talk some about some of what's on my mind and deals that I've run across, and I figured out why. Finland, thank you for being number 3 listening country, top listening country after USA and Turkey. I figured out why there's been a peak in Finland listeners. I didn't know if they were military or just, you know, you all just love us, because I would love to visit Finland, to be honest. I'd love to visit all I love these many places that Cousin Linda and I talk about. But I remember one fun Friday, Cousin Linda did not call in, and I talked about international travel. I talked about U.S. travel and international travel. And I did a story on the biggest cruise ship that's being built, and it's being built in Finland. And now I understand why there's been a peak in Finland listeners. So thank you all for your support. And that's a humongous cruise ship. So I'll talk about that again because it's scheduled to set sail early next year. I know it's going to be from Miami, from Florida. But I know it will be some type of test sail like in December. But I understand now, because I'm a person like Cousin Linda and I was talking about, who listens from where? So thank you, listeners. Here in the States, I would love for us to know what listening states what are the top listening states. But thank you all, wherever you are. If you're in hot Mississippi or hot Texas, because we're in under a heat advisory. And it's been hot, sunny all day. Right before the show, a thunderstorm hit. And you all won't believe it, the sun is back out. It was a 30-minute thunderstorm that happened. And that's one reason for the delay. But you look, we shouldn't delay anything because of storms. But you never know what's going to happen. And so it lasts about 30 minutes, and now the sun is back out. So I hope everybody's having a fun Friday. And like P. Diddy calls it, and he probably trademarked it, F it Friday, but he really used the word F it Friday hashtag. If you go to his social media, you'll see it. He always do a special video, but I haven't checked out his video for today. But Cousin Linda, let me make sure your mic is on. Getting on my soul bite, but like you say. Oh, you're on. Okay. So yeah. What's up? How you doing?
I'm doing great. How is everybody?
I'm good. This breaking news has been shocking.
Yes, I'm not surprised, though.
Right.
Not at all. Not with the Supreme Court that we have.
Wow.
When you have
the president spoke about an hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wow. I mean, you're human. We're human, so whoa.
I don't think the Supreme Court justices realize what they've done. Affirmative action, I can go along with that because you have people who think that certain groups of people or certain ethnic groups or races are getting benefits that they don't deserve. And that's just human nature. Somebody always thinks that the other person is doing better than I am, and that's unfair. You know, I think that's probably why they have the expression, life isn't fair. But on the LGBTQ thing, where a business can deny services to certain groups of people, well, I just wonder how far that's going to go, because Bethany, you posted on Facebook, I think, that does that mean we go back to interracial marriages being illegal? Other strides and progress that we've made in things that used to be illegal, you know, do we go back to separate but equal schools? Do we go back to white and colored water fountains? I'm just a little bit curious about that.
Right. That was a big question this morning when they announced the breaking news regarding the student debt loan relief package that Biden and Harris had presented. And then right after that, the story broke that businesses can reject members of the LGBTQ community if they don't want to serve them.
Yeah, I haven't
even
watched
it. And then the question came up, what's next? Will interracial laws be overturned? And most of us, I had stated all of us, but really all of us, because we all are part of the human race and connected. And that's a whole other history story, right, Cousin Linda? We're connected by one
right.
Black woman in Africa, isn't that correct? So we all are mixed, and we all are part of one race, the human race. But that's deep, you all. And I know Cousin Linda can get deep into that one. I'm one of those people that's thinking, no, they wouldn't do that. But so much
yeah,
has been overturned, like, oh, my God. But most of us are part of blended families, are part of blended families. Gays, mixed marriages, mixed heritage. We're a mixed heritage. And we have a blended family of people married interracially members of the LGBTQ community. This is crazy.
I've forgotten what I was going to say. But I haven't really been watching the news today because today is one of my favorite Friday TV watching days because, you know, I have to watch Hawaii 5-0, and they have it marathon.
Right.
And, yeah, and I start out early in the morning with Perry Mason, and I take a break when In the Heat of the Night comes on, and then Hawaii 5-0 comes on. And so I really, I just kind of glanced at a couple of articles on Facebook and email that I get from certain news sources. But, yeah, I'm kind of concerned about the not being that businesses can refuse service. Now, you will see some businesses that have signs that say, we reserve the right to refuse service to anyone, but that's extremely rare. So I'm just wondering, well, will they go back and make sodomy against the law? You know, once upon a time, people got arrested for sodomy or oral sex. Once upon a time, I guess you'd be punished for sex outside of marriage. Who knows where our laws are going to go? I guess the word is draconian. It seems like we're going back in time because certain groups of people have prejudices. I mean, I'm not for a lot of this liberal stuff that goes on, even though I consider myself super liberal. But
right.
Just because I'm liberal, I don't want to see conservatives lose what benefits or progress they've made, but by the same token, don't take away the progress that liberal people have made. I mean, stuff is
right.
A law, and now you want to turn back and repeal it because one or two people are angry and say they feel like they've been discriminated against? But that's what happens to all of the people who think that there's only one way to live, and that's by Christian definition. And a lot of these so-called Christians are Christians in name only. You know, they have selective sin. They look at everybody else's sins, but they don't look at their own. And these hidden agendas that they have. So I'm just disappointed in that. Now, on the student loan thing, I saw a man today talking about he borrowed $110,000 to go to law school, and he paid it back. So why should these people, adults who willingly and knowingly take out loans and don't want to pay them back? Well, it's not that everybody doesn't want to pay back their student loans. A lot of people can't pay them back. Because what you don't realize is there's a lot of interest. We'll just say $20,000 for a student loan. And you may take that loan out at, we'll say, 5% interest. And you think that 5% is over the course of the loan. And they start expecting payment when you complete your education. Well, by that time, that interest has accrued, and it may be compounded interest. And let's just say you don't get a job immediately, or if you get one, you don't have enough money to make payments on the loan. So naturally, you're going to pay for housing and food and maybe your car payment, car insurance, necessities. And you say, well, I'll put the student loan payment on the back burner. Well, before you know it, that interest has just really, really, really added up. And then say you get married and you might have a baby. And I know you made the loan. It's your fault. You willingly took out that loan. But what's the expression, Bethany? Life happens. So I'm just willing to say maybe if we don't wipe out all of the student loans because the federal government is willing to give us the money, wipe out some of it. You know, have some compassion. Give people a break. Out a loan to go to secretarial school, and I was ripped off by the school, royally ripped off. But I ended up having to pay that loan, and I didn't benefit not one iota from those stinky schools that I attended. In fact, I got kicked out of the first one And that school kept the money. So you have people who go into business with these proprietary schools, I think they call them. You know, you'll see this university, that university, and the students qualify for federal money. And I qualified, and I don't think they turn anybody down. The federal government is just giving buttloads of money to these schools. The school can go out of business on you, and you still owe them money. And so I transferred from a place called Southern Institute to Control Data Institute. And Southern Institute was supposed to transfer the money because I only went one, I think it was a semester. And they were supposed to have transferred that money to Control Data Institute, and they didn't. So I was stuck with two loans when I actually only finished from one school. And the only way that I was able to pay that off was when I would get an IRS refund, the IRS kept the money. And that way, that way I was able to pay them off. And I said, I'd never, ever, ever take out another loan.
So they garnish your income, your IRS refund.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's garnished. They just kept it. Like if I was going to get, and at that time I was getting some pretty decent refunds, $1,200 to $1,300. But my loan, I would be making payments to, we'll say, XYZ company, and then I'd get a letter saying, oh, your loan has been purchased by QQQ company. And in the meantime, this other company is charging interest, claiming they didn't get the payments from XYZ. It's a big mess. People don't realize the hassle that you go through with student loans. It's a huge ripoff.
That's why I need to go ahead and finish my education over school or transfer here in Clinton, and I hope all my funds will transfer, because I was blessed to get 100% at over school to get my esthetician license. 100% of my money, grant 60%, and my loans are 40%. So if I don't go back to school, I still got to pay. So I need to go ahead and get my education and get my license and go ahead and pay that 40% back. So, wow. So people like me, like, hey, if you have the grant and the loan money, we need to, you know, take advantage of it, because opportunities like that might not be here always. And it's something that the president mentioned in his speech an hour ago. Something that the president mentioned in his speech was like nurses and our essential workers. They depend on that also. They're students. So
lot of times people don't realize that loan follows you to your grave. And if you have people who are, we'll say, heirs or dependents or whomever that's left, they can sue them and get the money for a student loan. A student loan doesn't just go away. Like credit card debt, if you don't have any assets, if you don't leave assets behind, well, credit cards can't collect anything. But student loan, and if I'm not mistaken, they might be able to attach it to your Social Security. So, and a lot of people are conned into, you know, these student loans. When that financial advisor at the institution is telling you, oh, you qualify, you don't have anything to worry about, yes, blah, 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 everything is sounding good. And like I said, the school can up and go out of business on you, but you've taken out the loan, and they filed bankruptcy and kept the money, but you still owe the amount that you borrowed plus interest.
Right.
So if you have a student loan,
because one school did go out of business, Magnolia College did go out of business, because I had I'm friends with both owners of the schools here in Jackson, and one reason why I can't, you are probably wondering why she's in school in Dallas, because it's cheaper. It was cheaper, and also that's the market that I love to train in, and also I got 100% cover. Not free education, 40% of it is a loan. But now it's going to be hard for people to even get loans now to advance their education.
Well, that's a
so
good
that's
thing.
Crazy.
Well, no, it's a good thing. If they have to borrow money to go to school, then and they can't take out a loan, that's a blessing. Because trust me, like I said, you don't want to get tied up with a student loan. Not unless it's something that you know you
can
pay off.
Yeah, I have friends that's paying a lot of money years later, many years later. And I see the stories every day how people are just paying like crazy. And that's something that you talked about just last week, maybe earlier this week.
Well, I graduated from Control Data Institute with a certificate in office technology. And by the time I graduated, all the technology that I learned was outdated in 6 months.
Right.
I mean, stuff that nobody was using. And I'm like, okay, I've taken out this loan, all this money that I'm responsible for. And, oh, and the schools, what do they call it? Job placement assistance. Yeah. A handful of companies that they're in cahoots with, and you go on the interview, if you're lucky enough to get an interview, they already have made up their minds who they're going to hire. It's just a matter of, I guess, the school following up saying, oh, yeah, we did try to place you, but sorry, we couldn't. I got no assistance from Control Data Institute. I did get a mug from them. That was part of your little graduation package.
Right.
But as far as the job, I think they recommended one company to me, and I couldn't even find the location when I went for the so-called interview. I think they gave
me
a bogus address.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. And that's one thing. You make a good point. It's one thing these schools do. That's the first thing you see. You are guaranteed to get a job. God places.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a big ripoff to me. Now, if you're taking out a loan, I guess, to go to Harvard or a legitimate school, that's one thing. But your loan is going to be so expensive. Because you can't go to Harvard, you know, thinking you're going to go for, what, $20,000 a year or something? No.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about folks that's taking out these $300,000 and $400,000 loans, doctors and lawyers. They may be able to pay theirs back. But let's just say you decide to go to school to be in business. And, okay, you got an MBA or something, or just a bachelor's degree, and let's just say the market is not hiring in whatever your field is, and you don't find a job that's paying enough money for you to even begin paying student loans. Like I was saying, you know, life happens, and it is just going to follow you to your grave.
Right.
And so everybody, we're talking about college education. Yeah, Beth, we did discuss it. Become a plumber. Get a job in HVAC. Be an auto mechanic, an electrician. They make six figures almost instantly.
They sure do.
You know, as soon as they come out of school, when they come out certified and licensed. A chef, you know, if you have culinary talent. You could be a chef. You might have to start out as a sous chef or something, but look at Salt Bae.
Right. Right. And he started as a child. Right. He started as a child, too. So people don't think about that. I mean, he was 13 years old. Some people might say, well, he's from another country, but that's the American dream over here. You can do it. Yeah, do it. And you make a good point, because many of our CEOs of companies and millionaires and billionaires and six-figure earners, many are not college graduates.
No.
Many did not even complete
Steve
high
Jobs.
School.
Yeah, Steve Jobs was a dropout. Bill Gates dropped out. Did Elon Musk finish college?
He probably dropped out of school at a young age. Need to do my research on that.
Mm-hmm.
So just because
we have
you
a caller
have a
that would like
degree.
To go ahead.
Oh,
go
I was
ahead
just
and speak
say,
while I'm turning the mic on.
Just because you have a college degree doesn't mean that you're going to be on Easy Street.
Right. That's the game.
So when people go to the polls to vote, I hope you'll leave your hatred at home and vote for somebody that's going to do something that's good for the country.
Right. Who has good character? Who agenda and platforms aligned with your beliefs and what you really believe in? And
well, I don't know
I
about
again,
that,
it's
Bethany.
Like, it's,
because if your agenda is hate and you don't want to see somebody
right.
get something that
oh,
you don't
yeah.
think that they deserve, so no, we don't want you to vote your agenda, not if it's hate field.
Right.
We want
right.
you to vote for
so some,
everybody.
So some people need to stay at home. Oh, I didn't think we would say this, but some people need to stay at home. But they're still
mm-hmm.
represented. But right, if you are a person that believes in hate and division, oh, you need to reconsider. But we do have a caller, so let's see what's up.
Okay.
A caller from ATL. ATL
well,
in the house. Hey, ATL.
Well,
who is this?
No,
who
is this brother Warren, Miss Linda.
Hey, brother Warren. I could be ashamed of myself. It's New Orleans. Brother Warren, we manifested you. Oh, my God, we talk about you almost every broadcast, and I have been intending to contact you to ask you to come on, and we're ready to come on your show. And Cousin Linda just enjoyed herself, and I enjoyed it, too, when you invited her back in February. What is going on?
Yeah.
Tell us what's going on in the Big Easy.
I thought y'all would be here for the Essence Fest. So many beautiful black women are in the city. I'm putting
right.
on my little outfit. I'm putting on my outfit to get some numbers myself tonight.
All righty then.
We need to be there. I need a hurricane.
Yes,
oh, my God. Look, my prayer partner's going to say, no, sister. But I need a hurricane.
But, you know.
And some good
the,
shrimp etouffee. And some good shrimp etouffee.
Well, you know, the Essence Fest, they call it now the Essence Festival of Music and Culture or something. And so the concerts start tonight. So, you know, it's three nights of concerts and in the daytime are empowerment seminars. And I think tonight you're going to have Lauryn Hill,
hey.
Irene Lennox, and some others, Janelle Monáe, Juvenile. And they also are focusing on the 50th birthday of hip-hop, the 50th
oh,
birthday
that,
of hip-hop.
Oh, that's going to be too much fun.
Yeah, so people are in town, and, you know, mostly everybody's concentrated in that French Quarter area because where you have all of the events, the Superdome where the concerts take place, the convention center, it's all like within walking distance of each other. So, and then people go out on Bourbon Street and everything at night, and there's a lot of big push to support black-owned restaurants and stuff, so it's I have a house full of guests. They're out now. They're all out. I have relatives come in. Relatives
well,
come in all the time to go to Essence.
Hello. Tell your house
well,
hello.
They're gone. They're all out downtown and doing their thing. It's going to be like that for the next 3 days. I won't see them till they come in late at night to get some sleep and go back out.
And late
so,
at
so,
night
so
in New Orleans is about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
Probably some of the empowerment seminars in the daytime, and I'm getting somebody's going to give me tickets. I'll probably go to concert Sunday evening, when someone has some tickets for me. I think the tickets each night you're looking at maybe like $80. For each night, because they have different acts going on at the same time in that Superdome,
right?
Different areas, you know, different acts. But I was listening to some of the topics you all were talking about, the student loan forgiveness. But, you know, Biden does have the power because Congress actually voted to give him the authority to move on student loan debt. The issue is, will he do it? You see? And so we have to be careful with these politicians because a game has kind of been going on. You know, we it's kind of the back and forth between Republican and Democrats, and one side see the other side won't let them do it. But they all work for the very wealthy elite in this country, the wealthy corporations, you know. And where are a lot of these lending companies' headquarters and stuff? They're right there in Delaware where Biden come from.
Right.
Great point.
All the
you
credit
see?
Card
points.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so.
And a lot of people,
incorporate
their LLCs in Delaware, too.
Yeah.
Whoa,
yeah.
That's deep.
And so. Yeah, and so remember, these corporations, these politicians that's been in there for a long time, like Joe Biden, these congressmen and senators, they're millionaires themselves. And they have deep relationships with these corporations because they have contributed to their campaigns over the years.
Exactly.
And so we have to be careful. And the other point is on the – now, the affirmative action in higher education – I would think that this is my thinking. I would think that since because so many blacks have attended these colleges and college enrollment is low, that they're still going to need the money. And so I don't know to what degree the ruling would affect, but then there's also an opportunity for HBCUs to market themselves, you see what I'm saying, better than what they may have been doing in the past.
Well, Bethany, your friend Reggie Roughneck was saying that these black athletes who have been going to those Ivy League schools, winning all the games for them, putting them on the map, go to some HBCUs and take that money there and try to help them become more financially viable. But, you know, I want to go to a white school because I have a better chance of getting in the NBA or the NFL. But forget about that for once. Think about getting your education. And then if you get drafted into one of those professional leagues, you know, that's the cherry on top. But get an education. And if you go to those, I'll just say it, white schools, all they care about you is you're just a piece of meat. Can you perform on that field?
Yeah.
Right, that's all.
And that's something that Deion Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and that's something that Coach Prime mentioned after the NFL draft pick. Why weren't there more HBCU athletes chosen during this past year's NFL draft?
Well, you know, there was an exception in that ruling. And the exception was, except for military schools like West Point and the Naval Academy or the Air Force Academy. In other words, they could use now the same justices who voted against using race as a criteria for admission in general. They said in their opinion that the military academies is an exception. They didn't give a particular reason, but I mean, what a contradiction of what you say you believe.
Mm-hmm.
So,
go ahead, Bill Warren.
I was just saying, you know, when it comes to the military schools, are you saying that we need more black and brown in the military to go fight wars? So you could use quote unquote affirmative action for that situation, but in others, I don't know. But it's a contradiction. Opinion that they wrote.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, yeah, it's to benefit them, no matter how you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess recruitment into the military must be very, very low, because I know they come to a lot of the charter schools. And they wouldn't take you if you have tattoos that are visible and a lot of other things that would disqualify you, and they're overriding things now so they can get you in the military, because I think that enrollment or whatever inducting is way down.
Mm-hmm. And you all are familiar with the Are you familiar with the term legacy admission? In other words, if your grandfather or grandmother went to Harvard or University of North Carolina, even though you don't have the criteria to meet, you can get in. Well, that's always disproportionately white students that benefit from it.
Right. And that was mentioned. On yesterday. Like those that with the legacy admissions and those that families are big donors.
And so the Asian students who are claiming they're being bumped out of consideration because black students, that's the bogus claim. Look at these disproportionate number of white students getting in because of who their families are.
Right. Like I was telling Bethany, people always think that somebody has it better than they do. Well, why should you benefit them? Why are laws written to help them? It's not just helping, you know, when it's them, the meaning black people. They get all kinds of breaks that we don't get. They get breaks.
And even at HBCU.
Set up businesses.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
they're
right.
not redlined as far as housing goes.
Yeah. And did y'all know that
even,
there are three
HBCU, non-blacks get breaks to get in school at those schools.
But check this out. You got three of them. You have three of HBCUs that are predominantly white in West Virginia. Look that up. I can't think of the name. It's three HBCUs that are predominantly white.
Wow.
In West Virginia.
Ooh, you have
one of them is called.
At the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just Google that. Google that. You see the three schools there because a friend of mine worked at one of them. But, yeah, so how did that happen? I'm not quite sure how did that happen, but you have poor white students who are benefiting from the existence of HBCUs.
Well, I know right here at HBCU at Jackson State, even back when I was a student at Jackson State from 89 and 91, I had to participate in some sit-ins. Because, Cousin Linda, I don't know if you remember, Ole Miss was talking about back in the 89 and 91, making Jackson State part of Ole Miss. So
we had sit-ins
and protests back then. And then after that, we've seen many non-black, white, Asians, many Africans, more Africans and Indians become students at Jackson State ever since then. You know, isn't that the same thing? Isn't that some form of affirmative action for non-blacks?
Well, they're going to move again. They're going to make a move to consolidate many of these HBCUs with the closest white state colleges that's happening in Louisiana. We have what is called SUNO, Southern University at New Orleans. Now you have, and by the way, Southern University in Baton Rouge is the only college system. They have different campuses. They have one in Shreveport, one in New Orleans, but the main one is in Baton Rouge. But the one in New Orleans, we think the state want to consolidate that with UNO, University of New Orleans, which is not too far.
That's similar to what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
What are people saying?
Well, it was brought up before, and it's quieted down, but these people never stop. And I think that we're going to see that in the next coming years where they're going to argue what's the purpose of historically black colleges if there's no more segregation. And because they use the 14th Amendment to say that affirmative action using race as a criteria violated the protection clause in the 14th Amendment. So they use an amendment that targeted to help black people. They use that to kill the affirmative action in higher education.
Right.
And Warren, one of those schools you were talking about is West Virginia State University. I'm reading an article about a white student who enrolled on a volleyball scholarship. So that has enlightened me.
And they said it was predominantly white. Did they mention it was predominantly white?
It's West Virginia State, which is an HBCU, but I don't know if it's about. I hadn't got to the part where it says predominantly white.
Yeah, Google. Google predominantly white HBCUs. Was like three of them. They're in that all in that little area around that little Appalachian or West Virginia area. Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, those are poor whites when you talk about those areas around up in there.
Yeah, the coal mine folks.
Yeah. And so how did that happen? I don't know. But anyway, it's to maintain the status quo. It's to maintain a hierarchy, particularly as whites become the numerical minority this century. They'll be the minority numerically. And they're fighting to maintain that hierarchical privilege. You see.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, they're going to make sure that being a numerical minority for them doesn't mean they're at a disadvantage. They're going to maintain their advantage. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. But we sure thank you for calling in. We manifested you because if you've been listening, you've been hearing us talk about you. And Cousin Linda often mentioned a point that you brought up to her during her guest appearance on your show. But please tell us what you've been talking about. When is your next live broadcast? And we would like you, you'll be out having fun at 3 p.m., but we'll be back on at 3 p.m. on Sunday if you have time to give us an update on your festivities.
I'll be around. And what I have been doing is taking that interview with Ms. Linda and replaying it. So I've rebroadcast it maybe four or five times.
I reshare it often.
I play it. In fact, one of the times I replayed it on Memorial Day, and I changed the title, and I said, "Thank you, soldier, for your service."
And I love that.
That. Title.
She is definitely a soldier. She is a veteran and still fighting.
I'm still complaining, Brother Warren. I am still preaching my blackness.
Yeah.
It's just in me. I can't help myself. I get angry at certain things.
So we're glad you called in to talk about the summer weekend, too, because, look, we thought we were going to focus on happy-go-lucky topics of summer fun, summer deals, and places to go. So thank God you called in and enlightened us on some good news, too, about the Exxon Festival.
It's been going on since the mid-90s, the Essence. They used to call it the Essence Music Festival.
And I've been planning to come since the beginning and haven't made it yet. Uh-huh. Have you been to one, Cousin Linda?
No, I haven't. I didn't want to, but I just haven't been down there. I haven't been to New Orleans since 2018. I was there for Mardi Gras in 2018. And Brother Warren, I stayed on Bourbon Street. Like where the tourists are, I was at the Royal Sonesta, right there on Bourbon Street in the heart of everything.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that was an experience.
Oh, yeah, that was my first Mardi Gras, and I really enjoyed it.
Now you entertain
your guests and you invite guests, so I like to stay in hotels, but hey. Now you know you like to invite people in. And then I thought you was one of those hosts that maybe have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Look, you just let your guests just go ahead and do what they do.
These are cousins. Yeah, these are cousins. And they come down all the time. And, they enjoy these cousins, you know, from here and moved away. And then they come back. And so they just enjoy themselves. And people like
I was
been living here.
One of the festivities, one of my friends, D.C. White, you might know of him. He started out with Manny Fresh. And one of the events at a park, you know which event I'm talking about? Essence Fest at the park?
This year? Going on?
This year. I think it's tomorrow.
Let me see. I have the list of things right here. Yeah, because they have a lot of
And I'll send you the invite, so you might want to add that to your to your itinerary and go meet my friend and his family and all that, because he'll be performing too, I think.
Yeah, because they focusing on a lot of the hip hop artists, a lot of the rap artists too, that they're focusing on. So yeah, I have a list of the side events. I have a list of things they're going to be doing. I was just looking through it.
I won't be going
to that, because at the same time there is a family reunion picnic tomorrow going on.
Woo!
So I'll be joining
you
that.
You're gonna have a little family reunion 4th of July weekend and special. and I was talking about Mardi Gras. We were telling people what to expect, because I used to love coming to New Orleans and haven't been in ages. But Cousin Linda and I was sharing with the audience how even if you don't go to a Mardi Gras, New Orleans is just amazing any time of the year. And you're there.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, Linda's in Texas. Where are you located?
I'm not far from you, in Jackson, Mississippi.
So you're based in Jackson, because I know Ms. Linda lives in Dallas area.
Yeah,
and, okay,
yeah,
so
yeah,
you
said Dallas
so,
my second home. I talk a lot about Dallas, but I'm not far from you. I'm 3 hours away.
Yeah, because I need to come up there and get some of that barbecue from E&L's on Bailey Street.
I'm live on podcast. I'm on live on podcast worldwide. But yeah. When you mentioned to Cousin Linda that you have an Arthur friend north of me in Madison, Mississippi.
Well, she lives in New Orleans, but that's where she's from. Her family is one of the very few black families that still own land right there in the town of Madison.
Right.
And her brother.
Right. I'm in Jackson, 10-15 minutes away from Madison.
And the mayor of Jackson was here in April to speak. March, he was here recently. Chokwe Lumumba, Antoine Lumumba was here to speak.
He might be down there now, but yeah, his sister is running for a state lawmaker position of my district 72. But yeah, he might be back down there too for Essence Festival.
But let me tell you this: when they had the last Hurricane Ida, and my father and I had gone to Dallas, and on our way back from Dallas, coming back from New Orleans, we stopped in Jackson to do some grocery shopping, and I could tell you those people were so polite and courteous. I had not seen that in a long time. What store was that? I forget what grocery store that was. But it was like Midberry up in there. Black people working in that grocery store. I mean, they were so polite and courteous.
Yeah, somebody found the black Midberry.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, I hadn't seen this in a long time.
Well, you know, Mississippi State is the hospitality state. I feel that way about people in Dallas, and I feel that way about people in New Orleans, too. It's been ages since I've been down there. But we're glad to hear that, because we're the Magnolia State, and we're the
Bethany, remember how we talk about how rude a lot of people are and what happened to customer service? So I'm glad you gave that plug, Brother Warren, because I can't find friendly people anywhere.
I'm trying to think, was it a Piggly Wiggly? Did you all have a Piggly Wiggly?
Piggly Wiggly.
I'm trying to think if it was that Piggly Wiggly we had gone in, and I can't remember that neighborhood, but I tell you, those people were polite. Even the customers coming in was speaking.
He was in Fondren. You was in the Meadowbrook Road area, Meadowbrook Shopping Center area. You was in a popular area called Fondren.
Okay, because I think that was a Piggly Wiggly. I think that's what that was.
Right, and it's not too far from the highway too. It's not too far from 55.
Yeah, because all the lights was out in New Orleans. Cause we knew when we get into the New Orleans area, we had to get groceries before we got back into New Orleans. And so we just stopped in Jackson and did our grocery shopping, and I was just really pleased with how polite the workers were and the customers coming in. then. Mm-hmm. You know?
Thank you for spotlighting that and letting us know. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So ladies, I'm going to go. We have a meet and greet at a place with relatives in another hour or so. But I will definitely stay tuned into your program.
Okay. It's time to conclude. When is your next broadcast?
I'm going to be traveling, so I might not be doing too many broadcasts in the month of July because I'll be traveling different places and pick up. I might play some rebroadcast or something like that. So just check with see what
show I'm
creating.
So let listeners know the name of your show.
New Orleans Wake Up is the name of my show. New Orleans Wake Up.
Yes, I think Cousin Linda have a comment to say because it is time for us to conclude also.
Oh, I was just going to say, I had listened to one of your broadcasts, I think about 2 weeks ago, one of your recorded broadcasts. I forget which one, but from time to time, I click on that link and listen.
I made sure she, I said, listen, because I haven't even listened to some of your shows from way back, the Black Farmers episode. Relevant today as it was like 8 years ago.
Right. Thank you, ladies. I'll stay in touch with you, ladies. Thank you.
Okay,
stay in touch with you. I will email you. I didn't email you back in February, but I will email you and do plug you almost every show also. But Cousin Linda said that you sure told the truth about that book, that directory.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Tell your family hello, and you all
bye-bye.
Have fun.
Okay. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And Beth, I'm going to go because I'm getting ready to watch the news.
And that was a nice surprise. And it's time to conclude too. So I'm going to let listeners know how to email us. So thank you so much, and talk with you on Sunday. Are you lunching tomorrow?
No. Uh-uh.
Okay. Well, thank you, Cousin Linda. Love you much. Okay,
love you too.
It just ended.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought you were going to end right before 5:30. Okay, thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.